ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
It's the Daily Ding. We're here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. He's Mo DeKeel. Brian Smith producing. I'm trying to mix it up. Different intro than usual, but still the same Mo, still the same Brian on the ones and twos. We got some good ones in this episode of the Ding, and let's start with the Milwaukee Bucks beating the Philadelphia 76ers 118-116 in a battle between what could be the two best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, don't say that. You know your Boston Celtics are still right in that mix.
Hey, no time, Lord. I don't know.
I think so. But this was a great game, Jared. It was a fun one to watch. It went down to the wire. And what happens? Giannis Antetokounmpo with another game-saving type block. Before we get all to all of that, this thing was going pretty much back and forth in that fourth quarter where I felt like there was 37 lead changes, Jared.
There was, at one point, I think there were like five lead changes in a row. And then you get to like the 2.5 minute mark where you have that huge alley-oop to Giannis. They just started trading shot after shot. Pretty good defense most of the time, too. I mean, this was a thrilling game.
You know, I was kind of hyperbolic with my lead changes joke, but there's seven lead changes in the fourth quarter alone. And it was incredible, just kind of the back and forth between Giannis, Drew Holiday hitting shots, Chris Middleton waking up in the fourth quarter and knocking down some shots, and then Joel Embiid and James Harden going on the other end. Like, it was a real impressive kind of just a fun back and forth between these two teams. And in the end, it just came down to, hey, the Bucks were able to execute a couple of miscues defensively from the Sixers. They couldn't pull out the win. And then Giannis makes an incredible block at the end of the game, Jared.
Why don't we start with that Drew Holiday three? Really interesting play where the Bucks have some crossing screening action that's kind of confusing for Philly. Philly can't really figure out how to switch it. He steps up into a wide open three. What do you think went wrong there? And how did Milwaukee just figure out how to target Philly's defense?
Well, it's funny because I don't have the play call for that, but that's like the Bucks' go-to action. I actually did a video on it a while back on one of my One Mo things. Because that's what they run at the end of games. And that's first how they got Giannis Antetokounmpo to play before that, the lob, right? When what's happening is Chris Middleton's kind of setting a screen, and sometimes he's not even setting a screen and emptying out to the wing. And then Drew Holiday's coming off an Antetokounmpo screen. But in this case, Giannis just slips the screen wide open for a lob they weren't ready for. And then on the next play, they're so worried about the Giannis lob, they're hanging back too far. So when Holiday comes off the Middleton screen, it's a wide open three. He just steps right into it and drills it. And, you know, it's more because the previous time they gave up the lob to Giannis. They were trying to protect against that the second time. When you do that, you end up giving up something else. And at this point, it was just an easy walk-in three for Mr. Holiday.
James Harden. I mean, this is a big game for the Harden-Embiid pairing. They had some great moments, some nice pick-and-pop actions. But then at the end of the game, in one of the crucial moments, Harden tried to drive through the entire defense. He misses. They had one of their last plays there. Embiid tries to score ISO. He ends up missing. Okay, what do you take it away from that partnership in this one?
Well, one thing I'll say is for about 2.5 quarters, they were unstoppable in the pick and roll. And that was kind of a very impressive part of it. It didn't matter. It was pops. It was rolling. It was Embiid rolling just to the free throw line and then getting the ball there and attacking. There were times where the defense would go with Embiid and Harden would be able to step behind and knock down a three. It was just a real impressive kind of pairing in that instance. But you can still see there are moments where they're not quite there. There are times where Embiid's looking to isolate on the elbow or the free throw line and Harden decides to go, hey, no, I got this. I'm going to go ISO and take the mismatch. And, you know, it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's going in, sometimes it's not. And I think that's sort of the situation there. But they looked really good together. I think the biggest problem for the Sixers, Jared, were the Paul Millsap minutes in the fourth quarter.
He was in the game for 9 minutes and he was a -5. I think that was the worst in the game. No, George Hill was a -7.
It went from second quarter to fourth quarter. Just in the -9, 5 of those negative points came in that stretch in the second half. And it looked like the Sixers had control. Embiid goes to the bench and Giannis just goes completely nuts against the Philadelphia front line. And it's going to be a problem for the Sixers because they haven't figured out how to replace Andre Drummond's production.
Can't believe we're saying that in 2022, but hey, wild. Crazy times we're living in. Did we see the best team in the East in this game?
I think we did. I'm a believer in the Milwaukee
70- the Milwaukee 76ers. Leave that one in there. Keep going.
Oh boy, this is some amazing little brain farts here today. I'm a believer in the Milwaukee Bucks. That was my way of trying to take both teams at the same time. But I'm a believer in the Milwaukee Bucks.
Good
hedge. I think they're the best team in the East. I think Brooke Lopez adds another element to them defensively. I think he does a good job at the front line. I mean, just think about it this way. Embiid only got to the free throw line 6 times tonight. And you can argue whatever you want about if he was fouled on some plays or wasn't or whatnot and how it was officiated. I thought it was officiated pretty fairly. And he only got to the line 6 times. That's Brooke Lopez's impact. I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Let's head out to another important win for an important playoff team where the Brooklyn Nets beat the Detroit Pistons 130-123. It was not an easy win because there was a big star in this game making a big point. It wasn't KD. It wasn't Kyrie Irving. It was Cade Cunningham, who had 34 points on 13 for 24 shooting and 6 dimes. It just really came alive in the fourth quarter. And he earned a lot of respect from a lot of people in that game.
He was unbelievable, man. The 29 points in the second half, you know, after missing basically the whole second quarter with like a tailbone contusion and coming back in and just going to work. Like, it was a really impressive performance from him in the way of like, I love this kid, Jared. The more I watch him, the more I'm just like, damn, this kid's going to be really good. You know, there's a beautiful play. If you watch, I think it's late in the fourth quarter, game's kind of over, but he does a beautiful in and out dribble on Andre Drummond when he's coming off a screen and that opens up the lane. He drives and tried to smash on Drummond, ended up getting fouled and missing the dunk. But it's those types of plays from him. Just like, I'm looking at him going like, man, when he really puts it all together, and he's not far from doing that, this kid's going to be real good.
His pull-up game was just absolutely on fire in the fourth quarter. One play I really loved, because, you know, you saw KD come up to him and give him some love after the game, was in the fourth quarter, he had one driver. He just barreled through Kevin Durant, hit the hook off the glass over him. I mean, that's, see that coming out of a 20-year-old, that's the kind of stuff that you live for.
The other thing, too, about that is this also highlights a huge problem for the Brooklyn Nets that they're going to have to deal with in the playoffs. Can they get stops on anybody? Can they stop anybody? That's really becoming a more glaring issue with them. We knew their defense was never going to be really that good. But it's getting to the point now where, like, everybody's putting up buckets against them, and they're just hoping they're going to outscore everybody.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, well, I know a team that's not going to outscore anybody, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers, who I think it was
cheap
a wire-to-wire cheap shot. Come on, they suck. they're absolute garbage. The Lakers lost in Dallas. I think it was a wire-to-wire win for the Mavs. They win 128-110. LeBron was out. AD was out. Russell Westbrook, give him credit in the box score. At least it looked fine. 25 points, 9 for 17 shooting. Only 2 turnovers. Malik Monk, he had 28 points, 10 for 16 shooting. But nobody else scored for them, really. And Dallas was just phenomenal offensively.
The score was an 18-point loss, but the largest lead tonight was 37 points. Like, this game was never close. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, it's on at the same time as the Bucks-Nets game. So I flip over at halftime, and I see the score, and I'm just like, oh my God, this thing's a disaster. And Luka went completely nuts. in just under 30 minutes, 34 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds. Just 30 minutes. No big deal.
29-39, not even 30. I don't think I've ever seen this before. I'm sure it's happened. There was one turnover committed by the Mavs starters, and it was Luka. The rest of the starters had zero turnovers. I've never seen that before.
It's amazing. It was actually a low turnover game for both teams. Lakers with just 9, and the Mavs finishing with just 8. Like, pretty impressive on that end. But, man, it's getting bleak for the Lakers. This loss drops them out of the play-in tournament. They're sitting at 11th right now.
And there's nothing to no reason to expect that they would start winning, because that defense is just so hard to watch. I mean, that's the thing, is this Lakers team is really uncomfortable to watch, because there's just no pressure at all on the perimeter. They don't close out. The whole team looks like they don't want to be there, which is weird, because there's a lot of guys fighting for their NBA careers out there.
It's kind of funny. Well, some of the guys that are fighting for their NBA careers are just not very good, which has been the Lakers' problem the whole year. But on top of that, the bigger issue is it looks like they're tanking, Jared, and they don't even have a draft pick. Either way, make the playoffs, it goes to Memphis. In the lottery, goes to New Orleans. They're screwed either way, but they're almost just over it. The only thing that's promising for Laker fans, I don't want you to feel too depressed, Anthony Davis does make his return on Friday. It sounds like he'll be coming back, and hopefully that can help them roll through here. But they got a tough stretch of games, while the Spurs got a very easy schedule.
We're going to save the best for last. Paul George is back. We thought it would just be, you know, another typical, the guy comes out, he hits a couple shots, it looked nice. And the Jazz were up by, 23, 24, middle of the third quarter? All right, we're like, all right, this game's over. But there's nothing more dangerous in the NBA than having a 20-point lead in the second half on the Los Angeles Clippers, because they came back and somehow won this game 121-115 behind 34 points for Paul George on 10-for-20 shooting in his return.
I mean, just a phenomenal performance from Paul George. But Jared, it's almost something I feel like he's done several times when he's come back from an injury in his first game back. He kind of averages about 30. This is all anecdotal, folks. I don't want anybody try to like fat check me, but this is just kind of what he does. It's just kind of, he comes out ready to go in these situations, and tonight was no exception. But here's the most interesting number so far. Our evil producer, Brian Smith, gave us the Utah Jazz had a win probability of 94% with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And the Clippers, just all they needed was that 6%, Jared. That's all they needed.
They are always resilient. They're always fun. They always suck for a while and then somehow get their shit together. And I mean, okay, forget about the Clippers. Tell me, how did Paul George look?
He looked great. 10 of 20 from the field. 6 of 9 from three, got to the line 11 times, hit six assists. Like, he had a great play coming out of a timeout for a lob. The pass is wild. Looks like it's flying out of bounds. He manages to save it and find Isaiah Hartenstein cutting down the lane for a big bucket for the Clippers down the stretch. Like, this was just kind of all around a very impressive performance. Finished with 4 steals. Like, he was really incredible in tonight's game, and just how he kind of, it's not even looked rusty. The real question is going to be like, okay, how does he feel tomorrow morning? But right now, it's a great feeling.
Well, I feel great after watching that one. Paul George, you got a Gatorade shower after the game. I need a shower right now, so let's end it here.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
This is a big, big loss for Utah. Besides the fact the Clippers with another 20-point comeback, here's the important thing to remember about this. They are chasing the Dallas Mavericks for the home court advantage in the first round for the fourth seed. Now they're in a tie with the Denver Nuggets for the sixth seed. This is a real trouble time right now for the Jazz. They've been struggling. It's really kind of getting a little bit worrisome. This is their fifth loss in a row, Jared.
Jazz are stumbling, and I am closing this show out. I don't care what else you have to say. For Mo DeKeel and Ryan Smith, I'm Jared Weiss. This has been the Daily Ding.
Just kidding. Ding, ding. Ha 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 ha!